Tonight, if you would, Psalms 40. Psalms 40. I was teaching Monday night at the Bible College, and I shared in my class that I think we should be able to see Jesus Christ in every page of the Bible. So that's kind of my goal always when I'm studying myself. Just try to see where Jesus is in this passage. In this passage tonight, it will not be hard to find Him, because we're going to read about it in Hebrews chapter number 10, the same scripture that David uses, the same words that David says, Paul would say them about Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10. So we'll get there in just a moment. But let me give you a 3-point outline, and then I can just preach then. I won't have to worry about keeping everything in order. The first 5 verses of this book tells us how David praises God for what he done. The first 5 verses. David praises God for what he done. Verses 6 through 10. David says, give God everything He asks of you. Give God everything He asks. And then verses 11 through 17. Anybody want to guess? Trust God for all that remains. So David's thanking God for what He's done in the past. He said, give God everything He asks of you and trust Him for the rest that remains. Now, I think David is praying a prayer in the way of a song. Have you ever noticed the headings? I know that men put these in, but some of these headings came with the original scripture. This heading says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. Now, there's some that believe the chief musician might have been the choir director of the Levitical choir. I kind of think it might be the great musical leader, God Himself. I would think He would be the chief, wouldn't you? And so I think David's heart is there, and David's heart's in tune with God. Now I'm going to ask a question, because we're going to get there in a second, and you're going to scratch your head for a minute, and you're going to ponder that, and you're going to go home and rethink it. Is it possible that when somebody like David is writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that God could give him words of prophecy that maybe he didn't know were words of prophecy? Okay. I think we'll see that tonight. Because part of this, I'm going to say, David's talking about himself, but then through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's going to be talking about Jesus Christ. Now, we do know that Jesus was called the Son of David many times in the New Testament. We know that one day He will sit on the throne of David, right? We're looking forward to that day and time when Jesus Christ comes back and sets up His kingdom here. And so David is David's bloodline, so to speak. Jesus is in it. And we know He's virgin born and He's all God, but still He came through the blood of David. All right, Psalms 40. Like I said, the first 5 verses, he just praises the Lord for what He's done. Now, we don't know exactly what time in David's history these 5 verses are talking about, but it was a bad time in David's life, and he felt like he was going down, but God reached down and got him. I kind of wonder if it was when Saul was chasing him, or I wonder sometimes if this wasn't part of that time in his life when he was dealing with the issue with Bathsheba and trying to get through that. I waited patiently for the Lord. I remember studying this phrase when I was in school, and this is what I waited patiently translated as, while I'm waiting, I waited. When it says, when I waited patiently, he said, while I'm waiting, I'm waiting. Now, I just put above that, Not like you. Because I wait impatiently. So as I'm reading this and studying this, I just make a little note to myself. I usually don't wait while I'm waiting. I'm usually frustrated while I'm waiting. I'm usually thinking of other things to hurry the thing up. But David waited while he was waiting. So he's waiting completely on God, which is a big deal. I don't know if everybody's there in their life or not, but I find myself sometimes not waiting patiently. But I think that's the key to this. You've got to be able to wait that way on God. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me. That word inclined we talked about earlier a few weeks ago. We talked about leaning in, not reclining. But so God leaned in. When David cried to God, God leaned in to him. That's good to know, right? And I heard and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. When I think about miry clay, I've seen this one time in the jungle in Belize. I've seen quicksand. How many of you ever seen movies with quicksand or cartoons? I didn't think it was real, Atisa. That stuff's real stuff. There's like these kind of pits, and maybe sometimes they're like 10 foot, and stuff disappears in it. And David felt like he was in this miry clay or quicksand, so to speak. And he set my feet upon a rock. He established my going. So whatever was going on in David's life, he said, God reached down and pulled me out of it. It wasn't me. I was going down. I thought maybe for the last time, he reached down and grabbed me. And when he put me back down, I was on solid ground. Now, I've used that scripture a lot, talking about salvation, and I think it fits, but I don't think really that's what David was talking about here. I think it was a real incident in his life, and he didn't know what he was going to do. He waited on God, and he cried to God. God heard him. He reached down and got him, set him on solid ground. Verse 3, I always love this. He hath put a new song, not in my heart, but where? In my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Now, I wrote down this. When David got this from God, he gave it back to him. Did you catch that? God put the song in David's mouth, and David turned around and praised God with it. I wonder if it wasn't maybe the psalm we're reading tonight. But it came into his mouth, and all he knew to do was just sing it back to God. Do you think God would operate that way? I think when I picked that hymn book up, I think God is laid upon people's heart those songs to write. But I think God did it, and they sing them back to Him. That's how God operates. Don't y'all agree with that? He puts it in here, and we give it back to Him. See, God knows how we are to worship Him. He knows the words that we need to say. I keep reminding myself about Romans 8:26 when it comes to praying. See, they don't know how to praise you ought, but the Spirit will help me. With utterance I don't understand, but the Spirit will help me pray. So when somebody says, I prayed in the Spirit, it wasn't an unknown tongue kind of thing, but it was like God is telling me what to ask for. Y'all believe that? I have felt that. Didn't know really how to pray, and you know, it's just time to pray. But I don't like to pray like that. I like to pray when he's telling me how to pray and what to pray for. So David continues to talk. I love verse 3 when he says this, many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. The song that God gave David, that David gave back to God, it wasn't just for David. It is well with my soul. It was just not for the guy who lost his family and wrote the song. It's helped Steve a bunch. I've got music boxes. I've got posters. I've got stuff on my desk when I get my office done. It's all going to have it as well with my soul. That's been a special song in my life. And that guy wrote that song for him and God. Just like David, God put it in his mouth. David gave it back to God. But watch what it said in verse 3. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. How many people you think have been helped by Psalms 40? It came from God into David's mouth, back to God, but people saw it. Verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Remember the Beatitudes, blessed is the man that, blessed, remember all those? You could add this one to the list. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. You want to be a blessed person? Trust God. David said, trust God. Let me ask a question before we move a little farther. You think there's been times in David's life he didn't trust God? It's obvious. The messes David fell into, the psalms he wrote, the things he said. David one time feared for his life because the people were thinking about stoning him. And even thought about dying himself. Maybe I should just go. But then he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So David knows what it's like not to trust. He knows what it's like to trust. And he's saying as he's singing this song of prayer, he said, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wondrous works, which thou hast done. I underline these next three lines. And thy thoughts which are to usward. Y'all think about this, that God thinks about you. Tisa, I think about God all the time. I think about what heaven will be like. I think about the heavenly reunion. I think about a lot of things that I hear and read about God. But I don't really think too often about what God thinks about me. But David says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward, not just to David, but to all of his people, they could not be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. You want to think about what God thinks about you? David said, we ain't got time to number them. But I thought I could read you one. Go to Jeremiah 29. Y'all know this one. I'm reminded of this often. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. Anybody here ever think that when God's thinking about them, He's thinking some bad things and some angry thoughts? I've been there. I'll just be honest. I've done some stuff and think, man, when God gets a hold of me, He's going to wear my hind end out. Nobody's ever thought those kind of things. But you know, we never find God with that attitude. I'm teaching through the book of Hosea to my Belizeans on Tuesday. And what I keep reminding them is, God looked at it as they were, that Israel was cheating on Him. He called it like adultery. And it looked like they were doomed. But you know what God's doing the whole time in the book of Hosea? Loving them back. The more they treat Him bad, Letitia, the more He loves them back. And He's going to win them with love. He's going to win them with love. And sometimes we think the thoughts He's thinking to me, they're bad thoughts. But Jeremiah says, For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. He has got a plan. And He says, Steve, if you'll just let me, I'm going to give you the best life you could ever imagine. Now, sometimes the best life that Steve could imagine may not be the best life that God's imagining for me. But when I find out and I get into His path and His stream of life, I find out that what He had for me is so much better than what I had planned for myself. So back to Psalms 40. Now the next three verses, 6, 7, and 8. I've just been killing time for you. This is what I wanted to get you to. Remember I asked you, I said, do you think sometimes that God would inspire somebody to write, but in that inspiration is also a prophecy? You ever notice how much of the Old Testament, especially Psalms, are talking about Jesus Christ? How about Psalms 23? Is that the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord is my shepherd? Absolutely. So watch these next three verses, 6, 7, and 8. Sacrifices and offerings thou didst not desire. Now, I read that, and I was kind of tired the first night I was reading. So if I ever just let that set for a night, and I'll talk about that tomorrow when I read it again. Because I know that God set up the sacrifices, Cain, and He told them exactly what they had to kill, when they had to kill it, how they had to kill it. God required blood sacrifice. He required sometimes flour and other kinds of sacrifice. Sometimes He desired financial sacrifice. But then I read this verse and it says, sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. So which is it? He required, but that's not what He desired. Does that make sense? He required these blood sacrifices and these other sacrifices. But that was not what He desired. Anybody know what He desired? When dealing with Saul, remember Saul that was a king? And God said, nope, you're not going to be king anymore. I got another guy coming. Anybody remember what Samuel said about Saul? Huh? To obey is better than sacrifice. God desires obedience from us. I don't know how to explain this like I want to explain it. But I think this goes all the way back to the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. I think God created man with a free will. I don't want to beat that up, but I believe He did. Okay? And I think He wanted me to choose to worship Him. Choose to love Him. He made me not like the angels. They're required. And so, we know what happened in the garden, but I think God knew, He knew what was going to happen in the garden. Because it tells me from the very beginning that Jesus knew what He was going to come and do before man was ever made. Part of the master plan. So what God's going to do is going to say, I'm going to show you how much I love you all. He's going to give His only Son, going to come, live 32 years in a body like this, never sinning, never have a bad thought. He's going to allow them to crucify Him. He's going to allow them to spit upon Him. He's going to allow them to smack Him. You know, everybody's on Facebook talking about the smack that happened on television. What about the smack that happened to Jesus when the high priest smacked Him? You whited wall. What He called Him. Smacked Him. But Jesus never fought back. And then from the cross, His last gasp of breath, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Arms stretched out wide. How much you love me? This much. And He wants you and I to choose to love Him back. Not a sacrifice. Not a sacrifice. You and I can give offerings all day long. We can sing songs all day long. But what He's really wanting from me, Brother Greg, is obedience. Now, I'm going to show you this. I hope you catch this. It's going to be one of the things, Carolyn, you're going to have to just like, I don't know, Brother Steve, just mark this, okay? And go home and ponder this out. Sometimes we just read too, would y'all agree we read the Bible too fast? Try to cover too much? Let's cover this anyway tonight. Now watch this. Verse 6. Sacrifice and offerings thou didst not desire. Look at this phrase. mine ears hast thou opened. Then it goes back, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. So if you look at the list of verse 6, he offers four different kinds of sacrifices. Number one, a sacrifice, which is blood. Then he said, an offering, which is gold or silver. Then he said, a burnt offering. That's explanatory, right? Something that's totally consumed. Then he said, a sin offering. That's going to be a goat, a lamb, something like that. All right. So you see the four offerings? And every time he said that, he said what? This is not what I required. But right in the middle of that verse, he threw a curveball. Like, what in the world does that have to do with anything? You see it? Mine ears hast thou opened. Y'all ready? Everybody awake. Everybody kind of freshened up. Go to Exodus. Go to Exodus. Chapter 21. Exodus 21. Now, watch this close. All right? Most of the servants, slaves, so to speak, in Scripture, most of the slaves were working out of debt. You've been in Brother Greg's financial class. The slave, the borrower is slave to the lender. That's the big phrase, right? So when you read stories in the Bible about the woman whose husband died, they're coming to get her kids. Remember that story? And they had to go get all those pots for oil. Remember that one, kinda? The reason they were coming to get the kids, because mom couldn't pay her debt, those boys were going to become servants until the debt was paid off, alright? So when the debt was paid off, that servant would get a choice. I could stay with you forever and be considered a bond servant, or I could leave freely. So when it comes to the rules and regulations of being a bond servant, God puts them in the book. Now watch this. Verse 5. Exodus 21. Verse 5. If the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. David, in Psalms 40, is alluding back to this practice. He's saying, I know what you require, God. You require not sacrifice, but you will require obedience from your servants. And I'm here to tell you, God, I want to be with you forever. Did you all catch it? He didn't say ear, like Exodus said in the law. He said ears. Don't just poke one ear, poke them both. So Cain, if he's out in public in Israel in this day and time, and you see the guy with an earring, he wasn't being cool. He was a bondservant. And he would be identified by everybody else. He decided to stay with his master because he loved how the master treated him. He wanted to stay with him forever. That's pretty cool stuff. It's going to get more cooler in just a second. Some of you are like, I don't even have a clue what he's talking about. This is going to be re-quoted in the book of Hebrews. But the ears are going to be left out and something else put in his place. So let's just go there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Here's almost the same verse that David put in Psalms 40, verse 6. Here it is. Hebrews. Apostle Paul writing. No doubt talking about Jesus Christ. Verse 5. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Nicole, He didn't pierce Jesus' ears. They pierced His hands and His feet and His side. David said, God, I want You to have all of me. Here's both ears. Jesus said, here's my whole body. Jesus is the fulfillment of exactly what David's talking about. The same exact words, except ears now are body. See, what God wants from you and I tonight is everything. That's what He wants. If I had a big offering box or offering plate, whatever you need to collect the offering in, what God wants is you in it. If you're in it, JT, He's got your billfold, He's got your family, He's got your life. Now, did Jesus come that way? He did He not? Jesus, in the garden as He prayed that last night, not my will, but thine be done. How many times did He say, I've came to do the Father's will? Remember the first miracle. Woman, it's not my time. And He talked about the Father. Not Joseph. Amen. Talking about His Father. And so as you read, let's just read the rest of Hebrews 10, the verses that pertain to what we're talking about in Psalms 40. Verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He said, sacrifice and offerings was not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast not no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above when He said, sacrifices and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that He might establish the second. Is everybody in agreement that that's Jesus Christ? All right, now go back to Psalms 40 and see if it's still not Jesus Christ. Even though David's writing it, even though David's saying it, could it be, y'all hearing me? Could it be this ties in to a man after God's own heart that we talked about a few weeks ago? David was tuned in to God. And God wants me tuned into Him. I want to be more like Enoch every day. Enoch walked with God, and next thing you know, they're in glory. That had to be an awesome walk. Shell's got some kind of crazy, lame idea that we need to mow a path around the pasture field and walk it every day, Phyllis. Somebody please talk to her soon. I don't think I can pull this one off. She's getting ready. But can you imagine walking with God every day, talking, communing with Him, and the next thing you know, how'd we get here? Next thing you know, you're barefoot walking on gold streets. Because I'd have to kick my shoes off. I want to feel it. Y'all? Do you think it's possible to live like that? Brother Steve, in a different life, in a different world, probably. I'm telling you, these guys lived in the world you and I live in. I don't know how bad it was in Noah's day, but it's bad enough that God said, you know what, I'm just going to destroy it all. And Enoch was living right before he destroyed it all. I would think when Jesus said, as the days of Noah were, so shall also the days of the coming of the Son of Man be, I would have to think that we could be living in similar times. So if Enoch could walk with God, so can you. And if David could walk with God, so can you. And David, maybe, we know more because we know of his mistakes. He wasn't a perfect guy, Brother Don. He messed up. But he got right with God. Now go back to Psalms and I'll try to finish you up. Have I lost everybody or some still with me? Do you see the tie-in with verse 6? Verse 7, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Did we just read that in Hebrews? Now, listen. I don't think David is talking about David in the volume of the books. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, David is talking about Jesus Christ who would come one day. I think that is just so cool to look at. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I think that is David saying that. But that is exactly the same words of Jesus Christ in Hebrews 10, verse 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Jesus did the Lord's will as well. I have preached righteousness in the great congregations. Lord, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loving kindness and Thy truth from the great congregation. David speaking, and I think David's telling us tonight that he didn't refrain, he didn't conceal it. He talked about God among the great congregation. Who do you reckon the great congregation was? I'd say Israel. But I would also say the world. He had an opportunity to speak to queens and kings, other leaders of the world. And when he talked about God, he didn't conceal God's loving kindness. How many times do you think David shared about how God forgave him, God restored him, God loved him when he messed up? You know what? I believe probably sitting in this room tonight are people who God's forgave for some major big things, but nobody's talking about them. But there's probably somebody sitting in church and think, man, there ain't no way God could forgive me. But if you was to pop up and share your story, they might say, really? He forgave you? Then He'll probably forgive me. You think that's true? I know it's true. I've listened to that stuff. And I know there's people out here who are not sure that God could ever forgive them. This story of Hosea and Gomer. My daughter Sarah says they've made a movie. They had a book first and now it's a movie that's fixing to come out about Hosea. They changed some names in it, but it's a story. God has a man go marry a prostitute. And she continues to prostitute through the whole deal. Has kids with other men. They get named. And God says, this is a picture of Israel and me. I always say this, I just have to. I think God's relationship with Israel is like husband and wife. Because in the book of Hosea it said, you call me husband. There's a relationship there. There was a covenant. This weekend, I'll say it now because I forgot it. Sunday, Maddie's getting married. And she's invited everybody to come. It's a reminder that I told you all to come. Some got invitations. She said, I missed some. So let's tell everybody, they're welcome to come. 4:30, Greg Krell's barn. We having chicken? Don't know. You feeding us? It's at your house. You feeding us? Huh? But here's what I know. God wants to have a covenant relationship with us. And He did with Israel. And He does with us. Just like marriage happens at an altar. Tell me when the covenant happened. When they signed the paper or when they said the words? I don't think it was the signing of the paper. That's what the state of Kentucky requires to be married. But the words, there's your covenant. And just like a priest would put a ring around that marriage document and seal it, so a married couple will put a ring on each other's hand to seal that covenant they made to each other. And David was in that covenant with God. And he loved the relationship that God had for him. And he knew that God loved me no matter what. Isn't that good to know? Now David says this, and I'll quit with you. Let me finish you up. Verse 12, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart faileth me." David's getting real honest with God now. He's saying, "You know what? I've got so much iniquity in me, I can't even raise my head up. They're more than the hairs on my head." He said, "My heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me." You think God is pleased to help you? I think He loves helping you. I think sometimes, Bev, He just wants you to ask Him to. I've been here the whole time. I've just been waiting for you to just ask. Because I don't want to come in if you don't want me here. I'll just stay outside and knock. But if you invite me in, hey, we're going to eat. No paleo diet either. We're going to eat donuts, brother. Krispy Kremes. "Let them be ashamed and confound together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of them that shame they say unto me, aha, aha. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God." Anybody poor and needy tonight? Anybody just need a little help up? I come out of the crawl space today. Me and Randy was working under Dad's house. We came out of the crawl space. I couldn't get up. I was on my knees and hands. When I got out the hole, I couldn't get up. I was trying to get a hold of something to pull myself up, and I couldn't get a hold of this, and I finally just rolled around and got a hold of the porch and pulled myself up. Then I looked to see if anybody saw me. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You ever feel like you're just rolling around needing a little help up? Huh? I won't make it, brother. There ain't enough batteries to get me to 80. But here's what I know. David felt needy. There's a time in the past that God pulled him out of that clay, that miry quicksand clay, and put him on solid ground. And He said, "That time's probably coming again, and I'm going to remember you. Because you helped me one time, and I think you can help me again." So maybe that's somewhere in that story tonight you're there. Don't come in with your ear pierced Sunday, though. You missed the sermon. But I thought, what a great picture. Because Jesus Christ was pierced. That's what Thomas needed to see. I don't think he ever touched it, though, do you? I think that was the big plan. But when he's standing right there in front of the Lord, I don't think he needed to touch nothing. Let's stand and pray tonight. I wonder tonight, maybe you're in the clay. Maybe you don't have that story that He's ever pulled you out. I'm telling you what, He'll pull you out of it. And maybe tonight, You're somewhere in the middle. He just wants you to be obedient. Just trust Him. Because that's where the blessings are. Father, Lord, I pray tonight for Your Spirit to just have His way in this invitation. Lord, thank You tonight for the Word. Lord, help us not be so big of a hurry sometimes that we just try to rush through Your Word, but help us to just take time and meditate upon it. Thank You what You can teach us, what we can learn. Lord, we want to be obedient. Help us be that. In Christ's name, amen.